The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading, Jesus said unto him, "Do not fear, only believe." Thus far the words of our text. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ of God. Amen. So we are here gathered to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. In Jesus Christ, in this man, this God-man, the new reign and rule, the end-time reign and rule of God has appeared on the earth. It has come on the scene in visible, earthly form. So what we see in the miracles of Jesus are, they're all about a visible telling us, right? A visible telling us that something very new has come on the scene. Now, this is something for us that we gotta dig into, we gotta figure out, because we're not like the Old Testament people in Jesus' day. We weren't living under the Old Covenant. We've been under the New Covenant ever since the resurrection. And so, you know, we have to put ourselves sometimes in their feet, in their shoes. We're not living in that old age in which those who were considered unclean were exiled from the town. They were made to live outside the city limits. As the Old Testament tells us in Numbers chapter 5, right? Those who were unclean had to live outside the camp. And it says, "Command the people of Israel that they put out of the camp everyone who is leprous or has a discharge, and everyone who is unclean through contact with the dead. You shall put out both male and female, putting them outside the camp, that you may not defile the camp in the midst of which I dwell." Okay. So, if you were in the Old Covenant, you were had a bodily problem that made you unclean, then you were put out of the camp. Now, according to the angel speaking to Mary and Joseph, remember, they were told to name their child Jesus, right? What does the name Jesus mean? Right? God with us. Right? You shall name him Jesus, God with us. So who is Jesus? Right? Who's Jesus? Jesus is God in the flesh. He is God with us. Right? Not just God on our side, but God in the midst of us, God among us, God walking with us. Now, what did Jesus do? He healed the lepers, right? He cured the bleeders, and he raised the dead. Jesus is the God of Israel in the flesh, who is in the midst of or among his people. Now, who are we? We are the new Israel. That's what the church is. The church is the new Israel. And in Jesus, God is with us. He is in our midst. He is among us. Now, Mark records Jesus' words to the woman that he encountered in the street, right? "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." First, faith in Jesus is the key to being under the reign and the rule of God. Right? Those under the reign and rule of the one true God have faith that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Okay, we have full salvation. Right? And we understand that full salvation is what Jesus' gracious deeds are all about. And this is important, that we look to the healings of Jesus, right, as that which points to the new age. That which is to fully be made manifest at Jesus' second coming. Right? So the new age has begun now. We'll see it fully when Jesus returns in glory. And that's when the resurrection of the dead happens. Okay. So Jesus is the very Lord of Israel. We are the new Israel, right, who has come to his people. That's you and I, to bring to us the blessings of the new creation, which will be completely realized to us at the end of time. Now, people respond to Jesus either negatively or positively. Okay, the bleeding woman and Jairus are those who responded to Jesus and his message. They responded in faith and trust. Right? And today we see that these two women, one woman and one girl, right? In them Jesus shows the reign and rule of God being made manifest, showing in these two ladies that the new age has come upon the world. Right? So there's something that we've got to wrap our head around. This woman who had such faith in Jesus that she said, all I got to do to be healed is just touch his garments. That's all I got to do, is reach out and touch his garments to be healed of her bleeding issue. We've got to understand, in her society, in her day, she would have been ostracized. She would have been considered unclean. Mosaic law, the law of Moses from the book of Leviticus, states that if a woman has a discharge of blood, it's not at the time of her menstruation, which, by the way, is a different form of being ritually unclean. The law of Moses said, this woman shall be unclean and continue in her uncleanness all the days of her discharge. In addition, every bed, everything she sits on, whatever she touches, these things shall be considered unclean. Now, that's hard for us to understand and comprehend living in a society like that. It's very difficult, right? And just as a side, if you think the law of Moses was very hard on females, just before this particular section about the discharge of blood, there's 18 verses on what to do for a man if he has a discharge. Right, so it's for both males and females, and what happened if they had a bodily issue. That this woman's faith, okay, right, this woman's faith had to overcome her fear of everything around her fear of going where other people were, right? Her faith enabled her to defy every social convention of her day, to not even come face to face with Jesus, but simply to reach out and touch his garment. And Jesus' reaction to all this shows that a new age of grace and salvation had come on the world. In Jesus, that which was unclean becomes clean. That which was unclean. So in addition to being physically healed, that which was ritually unclean. In other words, she couldn't go to church. Becomes clean. Now she can be part again of the body of Israel. In Jesus, that which is unclean becomes clean. And what do we see about Jesus? What's he do? He orders unclean spirits out of a man. Even the unwashed spirits, the people said, obey him. Even unwashed demons obey him. Jesus healed diseases. As a result of that, many people tried to reach out and tried to touch him. Unclean spirits fell down before him and declared, you are the Son of God. Jesus forgives the sins of the paralytic. He does things that only God can do. He is giving the greater healing first. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. This woman in the street, through the work of Jesus, enters into the kingdom of God. And he declares her faith in him to be such a good thing. And Jairus, too, overcomes his fear with faith. Faith that Jesus can heal his daughter. Jesus, heal my daughter. Yes. I'll come to your house. Wow, what a powerful statement. I wonder how many people heard that in those days. Zacchaeus, Jairus, some others. Lazarus, Mary, Martha, I'll come to your house. Wow. I wonder how many of us remember to invite Jesus to our house so that he'll say, I'll come to your house. Anyway, he says, I'll come to your house. And then he gets the word while he's talking to this woman. Jesus, Jairus gets the word, your daughter's died. Don't bother the teacher anymore. She has died. And upon hearing this, Jesus tells the distraught father, do not fear. only believe. And that is enough for Jairus' faith in Jesus. For Jesus simply to say, don't be afraid, only believe. How far did they walk? How long did it take to get to the house? I don't know. You don't know. All this went down in enough time for everybody to be convinced, though, that the girl was dead. Right? They weren't foolish people. They knew when somebody had died, and this girl had died. And Jesus appeared at the house of the synagogue leader as one who can do what? He comes to the house as one who can overcome death. And what happens? He gets laughed at. The people wailing and mourning. And he says, what are you doing that for? She's not dead. She's just asleep. And basically, what the Bible tells us is the people gave Jesus a snort of derision and they laughed at him. What do you mean she's not dead? Of course she's dead. You don't know what you're talking about. What does Jesus do? He puts them all out of that. Get out. You're the ones who don't know what you're talking about. You get out. Go. Go. Leave the parents alone and just get out of the house. Right? What had been public mourning turns into a bit of public mocking because these people did not have ears to hear or the eyes to see who Jesus was or what Jesus was about to do. What a contrast in the faith of the unnamed woman. One woman had the faith, all I got to do is touch his robes. All the other people saw him and said, you're ridiculous. There is no doubt. No doubt that Jairus' daughter had died. But the father is willing to take Jesus at his word that she was only sleeping. So Jairus may dimly understand that to Jesus, death is nothing more than sleep. Jesus will show himself to be the master over death in the same way he showed his mastery over the elements of the wind and the water a bare day or two earlier. How did he do that? He spoke. And what does Jesus do in Jairus' house? Jesus speaks. Now, don't forget, what did we say earlier? To touch a dead person was to make you unclean. What did Jesus do? He reached out his hand. He grabbed hold of her hand. And he spoke. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Get up. And she does. She does it immediately, and immediately she begins to walk around. This wasn't the only resurrection that Jesus effected. He showed his mastery over death at the city of Nain. Young man, I say to you, arise. The dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother with this same word of his voice. And even this time, through his tears, Jesus stood outside of the tomb of Lazarus, removed the stone. But Jesus, it's going to smell just awful. Remove the stone. And they rolled the stone away, and what did Jesus do? Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead obeyed the word of the living God. He came forth from the grave. And in hushed expectation, the onlookers watched. And Jesus said to them, as Lazarus came out, unbind him and let him go. Jesus unbound Lazarus from the chains of death. And he asked the people to unbind Lazarus from the grave clothes. Wow. What a picture of what's going on in our spiritual lives, of what Jesus is affecting, what Jesus is doing. What else does Jesus say to you but arise? Arise! He has met us in the uncleanness of death. The death of our trespasses and our sins. He has washed us in the waters of our baptisms, making us clean through His blood. And He says to us thereafter, get up. You who are broken by your sins, you who are wounded by your fears, crushed by your iniquities, I say to you, get up. What did Jesus say to the family of the resurrected girl? Give her something to eat.
What does he say to us? Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. He raises us up and then he gives us something to eat. Says, hey, you're healed. You are healed. Jairus' daughter, the young man of Nain, Lazarus, all foreshadow Jesus' resurrection. And we too must face death. And not just the little death of our own sins, but we must face death itself. Jesus' words to you this day are the same words that he has spoken again and again. Do not fear. Only believe. Do not fear. Only believe. That by his death, Jesus has conquered death, and in his resurrection, you too shall rise from the grave. The kingdom and the reign and rule of God have appeared in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they will come fully on the last day. And as we wait, and as we live in the world that surrounds us, do not fear. Only believe. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.